Is Mylan still here? Mylan Schenker, stand up a second, Mylan. Just to embarrass you. Mylan always, twice a year, in the weeks coming up to twice a year, always says, next week's the week, huh? And people look at what he's talking about. Traditionally, there were two times a year when rabbis would give a sermon. And today is one of them. It's known as Shabbat HaGadol, the large Shabbat, the great Shabbat, which was a line from our Parsha. But it's also a notion that it was called that because the rabbis would speak, since it's our only time, for a very long time.
I won't.
But I want to talk about a subject I have never discussed from the Bima. I want to talk about Mashiach. Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. A couple people. So the Messiah is this sort of the central concept of Judaism that we don't ever talk about. And I want to discuss it because not only did with Haftarah that Jordan spoke about include Elijah, and Elijah the prophet is the harbinger for the Messiah, but on Passover, at a certain point when you need to stretch your legs from too much matzah, what are we going to do? We're going to get up. We're going to go to that door, open that door, and we are going to invoke Elijah to come in. And the question is sort of how come and why and what is this Messiah idea in Judaism, and does it matter? Because I don't think most of us are breathing and waiting every day for the Messiah to come. In fact, do you guys know what a Yekke is? Yekke Yecker. Yecker is a German Jew who is always exactly and precisely on time, which the rest of us Jews are not. And there's a joke about Chabad, the Lubavitch rabbis, who are very much into the Messiah. What happens when you cross a Yekke and a Chabadnik? You get a Messiah who comes on time. If we want to understand the Messiah and its significance to us, we have to go back in time to study time. And in the ancient world, before the Jews came onto the scene, in the earliest days, people, our primitive ancestors, developed a sense of time based on the day, on our own biorhythms. There was night and there was day. There was day and there was night. And as we advanced into hunter-gathering stage, we became a little bit aware of the seasons of summer and fall, summer, fall, winter, spring, and the movement of the animals. And as we evolved again, we moved into the agricultural mode, which is very much about those cycles of time. In fact, in the ancient world, the understanding of time was that time was a circle, like the year, like a solar, like a sundial, which is a wheel, even like our watches. That time repeats itself, that every morning repeats itself, that every season repeats itself, even in Judaism, that every holiday repeats itself. Last year we had Seder, this year we'll have Seder. But somewhere in that notion of cyclical time, the Jew came onto the scene and developed a very different notion. Perhaps it was Abraham who was told, Lech lecha, me'artzecha, me'moledecha, me'beit avicha. Wake up, Abraham, and leave from everything you know, which predicts your future, which is your destiny, which says that you're going to be like your dad, that you're going to be like your village, like your tribe. Go out into a new world, into a new destiny. And if you compare it with the Greeks, it's a completely different notion of time. So let me ask you a question. What is the greatest Greek gift of literature to the world? What style of literature did the Greeks give? Anyone know? Huh? They definitely gave us mythology, but they're not the only ones. They gave us tragedy. The whole era of tragedy is a Greek invention. And tragedy is a type of literature which says that who you are cannot be changed. And when you go against your destiny and what will happen to you, bad things will happen, and what was preordained will still happen. And the Jews, and you can read a book by Tom Cahill and others, the gift that the Jews gave was to say that time was linear, that the world begins here, and that even though there are these cycles in the world, there is a destination that we are not at yet. And that is the messianic time. That is a time in which the world will look very different than what is here. Now, a lot of us don't think about this as anything amazing because starting in the 17th century, the whole Enlightenment project and the whole notion of progress took this Jewish concept of linear time and put it into a world which says we are advancing forward. And for a long time, it was possible to imagine that the world was one of progress, that things are going to be better tomorrow than they are today. But let me ask you, how many of you think the world is going to be better tomorrow than it is today? A few people, not a lot right now. And that's the problem with progress. Progress assumes that everything is linear, but linear time, I mean, is consecutive and is always rising up. But the Jewish notion of linear time is the story, is about story itself. And stories, our stories, are never in one direction. We have setbacks, we go forward, we lose it, we forget something, we regroup. That is linear time. It says that even when things look bad or look like they're getting worse, that doesn't mean that there's not a place we're heading to. And there's another piece about this Jewish notion of time, which is important to us. Because the messianic, you know, there's other religions out there who believe the Messiah already came. And the Jews always said no, because this is still a world of destruction and war and pain and slavery and every other sort of ill possible. And the Jewish notion of the messianism says, we're not going to sell out our values for some easy given. That is not the role of human history, of human destiny. Humanity is on a path, says the Jew, towards greater freedom and greater equality and greater kindness. And that's a long path. But it is ultimately what the messianic moment is about, the path towards redemption for all. And so next week, when many of us will be sitting at our Passover tables, when we get to that moment and we open that door for Elijah, don't be so quick to shut it again. Don't make it perfunctory. Because the secret of Jewish life and survival and time hangs in that door remaining open to our imagination, to our hearts, to our courage, to our belief that whenever and however long the Messiah may tarry, and whether the Messiah is a person or an age or all of us pitching in together, because all of those have been taught, it is the belief that the past is not destiny and that ultimately we are free. We are free, and therefore we celebrate when a boy turns 13 and becomes a bar mitzvah. We assume that the essence of freedom is the desire to take on the mantle of responsibility and change who you are today into something better tomorrow. I want to wish everyone a Zissin Pesach, a joyous, happy, kosher Passover. But I also want to wish each of us the faith and the trust that the emunah, the bitachon, the faith and the confidence that tomorrow may not be better, but tomorrow's tomorrow will be. That's hatikvah, that's hope, and that's another thing we gave to the world and that the world is desperately in need of. Shabbat Shalom.